Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. We're going to hear a clip here. This is put out by Project Veritas, who was raided. And folks, again, having to fight against lawsuits, charges by the weaponized FBI against the American people. Again, they have weaponized the FBI. They have weaponized the so-called Justice Department. They're no longer branches of the government. They're simply, again, part of the protection racket against the American people today. But this is what you won't hear on NBC, ABC, or CBS because, again, they are just a part of the communist-controlled media. But go ahead and take it away, Sean.
What you're about to hear has never been released to the public. This voicemail was left on the Project Veritas tip line on September 3rd, 2020, which led our journalists to investigate the matter of Ashley Biden's diary, thrusting us into a pivotal moment of history for all of press freedom.
Hi there, I'm calling from Florida. My family, their friend who owns a house down here in Palm Beach, was renting it out. I don't know how, but this is a while back. But anyway, a new renter moved in, and Ashley Biden was staying in this room, and they found her diary, all of her clothes, luggage, pills. Anyway, diary is pretty crazy. I think it's worth taking a look at. It's not a joke. Real, and I'd love to get into your hands.
After years of public speculation and internal deliberation, we are finally releasing our conversation with Ashley Biden about her diary and other possessions. They were abandoned and later offered to Project Veritas.
Hi, is this Ashley Biden?
This is she. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I heard you have a few of my belongings. And so I was going to ask if you could please meet my friend, Eric, who is down in Delray, if you could meet him and get this up to him.
There's a diary here. It starts in January. It says, January, at the end of a New York month, I'm sitting on a bed at the I building.
Yeah, so if you could just give everything that you have to Eric, that would be really great.
I don't want to give this to the wrong person. I mean, I want to make sure.
At this point, and I don't mean to. I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff. So if you could just give all of that over, I would really appreciate it. I know you sent a picture to my husband with a camera. And a few other things that are mine as well. So that would be really great. Where is a good place for him to meet you?
There's also this bag with luggage tags on it. And so is that bag, because there's all this stuff, is that bag yours too, Ashley?
Yes, it is.
Shortly after the phone call, this October 16th letter was sent from Project Veritas to Joe Biden's presidential campaign asking the candidate for comment. October 23rd. A follow-up email from our then chief legal officer. And on October 29th, 2020, Ashley Biden's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, finally responded saying, quote, "This is insane. We should send to the SDNY. This is the FBI splash page showing the SDNY immediately open an investigation into Project Veritas on the very same day. And on November 8th, 2020, Project Veritas returns all Ashley Biden's abandoned items, including her diary, to Florida local law enforcement. You're watching pre-dawn raids by the FBI on three Project Veritas journalists. They took place on November 4th and November 6th of 2021.
I'm sorry, so what is this regarding?
This is a search warrant. Open up.
Let me see your hands.
My hands are open. What's going on?
No, I'm standing here with your right to. Just once again, for our safety and for yours, we're going to have to get sick of you.
Yeah.
You do not have to speak to them. You're not being detained. All right. That was just a question for our safety. We're supposed to see. Are you comfortable on that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So there's another team coming up?
Somebody will set up to like areas of the house.
Incidentally, New York Times national security reporter Mike Schmidt contacts Project Veritas journalist immediately following the raids.
A new wrinkle today in the investigation into the apparent theft of the president's daughter, Ashley Biden's diary. The New York Times reporting the FBI Saturday searched the home of James O'Keefe.
47 electronic devices, including our reporter's cell phones, laptops, and thumb drives, were seized. To be clear, no one was arrested. And no one was charged with any crime. Project Veritas obtained documents showing the SDNY was spying on our journalist well before the FBI raids on our homes in November 2021. Using secret subpoenas, the SDNY was reading our emails and deliberately hid that fact from a judge who barred the government from viewing Veritas's documents. After turning over our communications to the FBI, which included content from personal email accounts of Project Veritas employees, Microsoft, Google, and Apple finally notified us in spring of 2022 when their gag orders were lifted. Nearly 2 years after these raids, the legal battle for Project Veritas to defend First Amendment rights rages on. To date, we have spent millions of dollars defending these former Project Veritas journalists. We continue to provide representation to all of them. This fight is to protect all journalists from government overreach. If the Department of Justice continues to go unchecked, then our reality of unconstitutional raids, intimidation, and secret subpoenas will cripple any journalist daring to engage in actual journalism. Among the evidence we found of the DOJ trampling on our rights as journalists includes politically motivated spying into journalists' news-gathering activities, disparate treatment of the press by the Trump DOJ and the Biden DOJ, evidence that the DOJ plays favorites with press entities, including the New York Times. Under the Biden DOJ, Project Veritas received no warnings about the secret subpoenas and search warrants of journalists' devices, both personal and professional. Meanwhile, in a similar case, the DOJ allowed Google to alert the New York Times they were coming for email accounts of four Times reporters. This allowed the attorneys for the Times to fight the demands for journalists' emails. Eventually, the DOJ dropped their demands.
Just last month, we learned that the Biden Justice Department targeted Project Veritas, a news organization specializing in undercover journalism. Project Veritas was subjected to an extensive investigation by the FBI, including having its emails seized on Microsoft servers. We should all support this legislation and the important protections it provides for journalists. There's a reason why the founders chose to enshrine freedom of the press in the First Amendment to the Constitution.
This bill, referenced by Congressman Jim Jordan, H.R. 4330, is known as the Press Act. It protects reporters' First Amendment rights.
Liberty depends on freedom of the press, whether it's Tucker Carlson, James O'Keefe, Glenn Greenwald, Cheryl Atkinson, or Bob Woodward. Good reporters are those who are committed to holding the government accountable.
It passed the House on September 19th, 2022, and is currently before the Senate. That brings us to today. What began as a voicemail left on the Project Veritas tip line has led to this pivotal moment in American history. We're not only up against the power of the federal government, but also the corporate media infrastructure that exists to support it. Project Veritas will never shy away from exposing the truth to the American public. Our job is never done. Stay tuned.
Alrighty, we are back. And there you go. Here, again, I heard her saying when she made that statement about, it was read from her diary how she was forced to take showers with her daddy, and this is probably the reason for her to be that she has become the way she did. And so anyhow,
right, in the diary, you can find it on Scribd, Scribd, and the pages have also been published on Twitter. In that diary, it quotes how she was hypersexualized at a young age. What is this due to? Was I molested? I think so, she writes. I remember having sex with friends at a very young age, showers with my dad, probably not appropriate, being turned on when I wasn't supposed to be, and it gets a little worse from there. That was out of her diary. And you can find it online. We don't make this stuff up.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, You had female Secret Service agents forced to watch him swim naked in the nude. That was one of the things. The other thing was also Tara Reid. Remember what she said about how he tried to molest her, how he tried to rape her. And so, and of course, we see what happens when he gets around children. It gives me the creeps.
He acts really weird. Even, you know, grandfathers can be loving, but strange children and stuff. He just sniffing hair. I mean, he does really weird things. There's something not right with that man. Doesn't take much to see it.
So, all right, we're going to play now another clip because, again, all of NBC, ABC, CBS, all of they're doing out there is they're everything about Trump. They're all of the propaganda, the anti-Trump propaganda that they're putting out. And so at least one half of Fox News, at least still some of Fox News is able to bring some of the truth out. And with that, Jesse Waters, I think, has been doing a good day. And Laura Ingraham, too. Praise the good Lord that at least they're. We see Brett Baer and the others have gone the opposite direction. But go ahead and play that clip with Jesse Waters.
Archer, the man who Hunter Biden once called a Biden, just flipped on the first family. And it's bad. Archer, who's been in Ukrainian board meetings, Chinese dinners, to the Biden family beach house, is saying that Joe Biden was on the phone with Hunter and his foreign business partners at least 20 times. 20 times. Archer says it was to sell the Biden brand, and Hunter described the Biden brand as gold. Here's how it worked. President Barack Obama would assign Joe Biden a country to handle. And when Biden was assigned to a country, a dirty company with a lot of problems in that country would hire Hunter Biden because they needed something from Joe Biden. Hunter would have dinner with some crooked foreign kleptocrat, and in the middle of dinner, he'd say, "Hey, let's call my pop." He'd get his dad on the phone, put it on speaker, and Joe Biden would say hello to Hunter's business partners. And that was what the business partners were paying for, that phone call. They were paying Hunter because he could get Joe Biden on the phone like that. And everywhere Joe went, Hunter got paid. And Joe delivered. Devin Archer told House investigators today that the corrupt Ukrainian gas company, Burisma, only hired Hunter so his father, Joe, could get the prosecutor investigating them fired. Devin Archer testified Hunter was with the crooked Ukrainian CEO when he called D.C. to demand Joe Biden fire the prosecutor. 3 days later, Joe Biden flew to Ukraine and got the prosecutor fired and then bragged about it. This is what Democrats impeached Trump for probing. Devin Archer also testified that Hunter pulled the same move with other fat cat foreign execs. Archer says Hunter put Joe Biden on the phone with his Chinese partner, Jonathan Lee. And remember, Joe Biden flew Hunter to China on Air Force Two, where Hunter met Jonathan Lee. Hunter introduced Joe and Jonathan Lee in Beijing. They shook hands. It was a $20 million handshake. The Bidens made $20 million from that Chinese deal. After Hunter was given an equity stake in the Chinese investment firm, the Obama-Biden administration greased approvals for Jonathan Lee to take over American car manufacturers. Joe Biden, who claims he didn't talk to his son about his business, even wrote a letter of recommendation to Brown University on behalf of Jonathan Lee's daughter. Jonathan Lee is a Communist Party power broker who our vice president went to bat for, helping his daughter cut the line in the admissions offices at Ivy League schools. Why? Because his family was getting paid. Devin Archer also testified that Vice President Joe Biden personally met with a Russian billionaire, Elena Butrina, back in 2014 while VP at Cafe Milano in Georgetown. Joe Biden had dinner with her. And a month later, the Russian billionaire wired Hunter Biden $3.5 million. Now, Democrats say Joe Biden had no idea who he was talking to.
It was clear that it was part of the daily conversations that Hunter Biden had with his father. And it was, and sounded like most of the time, now President Biden didn't even know who the people he was at dinner. He was just asked to say hello. And he would, you know, talk about the way he described it several times. They asked over and over and over. He described what the weather was, how what's going on your end.
The Democrats went from the laptops, Russian misinformation to Biden was having dinner with Hunter's business partners, but all they talked about was the weather. Now, when I eat dinner, it's usually at least an hour. I'm there for three courses. You can talk weather for maybe 5 minutes tops. But Biden's talking to a Russian billionaire about the weather the whole dinner? What's it like in Moscow? It's cold. Biden's had meetings at Cafe Milano with the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Mexicans, Kazakhstanis, even the Greeks, all Hunter's business partners. You're saying Joe Biden talked about the weather the whole time and had no idea who he was having dinner with? Even if Hunter puts his business partners on speakerphone with his dad and they don't talk business at all, you're saying the next day when Hunter talks to Joe, and they say they talk every day, Joe doesn't say, hey, Hunter, what are you doing in Dubai and who are those Ukrainians you put me on the phone with last night? Come on. The Biden family was selling access to Joe. The phone call, even if it was weather related, was the access. Biden always delivered on the back end. The Chinese and the Ukrainians got what they wanted out of Biden. Even the Russian lady who bribed Hunter $3.5 million, Joe Biden left her off the sanctions list. The one Russian billionaire not on the sanctions list happens to be the same one who paid the Biden family millions of bucks. But the Democrats say, what was Joe Biden supposed to be, rude and not say hello to Hunter's corrupt foreign business partners?
Clearly, he talked, whether it's about the weather or whatever, but he said specifically that he's never talked to them. Doesn't this contradict?
He never said that he has never spoken to anyone. He said that he had nothing to do with Hunter Biden's business dealings. If he says hello to someone that he sees his son with, is he supposed to say, hi, son? Oh, no, I'm not going to say hello to the other people at the table or the other people on the phone. It's kind of a preposterous premise to think that a father should not say hello to people that the son are at dinner with.
So the new defense is Biden's mismanners. Snubbing his son's sniveling and conniving foreign business partners would be the wrong thing to do. Now, we know that Hunter Biden brought his sleazy business partners to the Obama White House over 100 times. So Joe Biden never asked Hunter, who are all these people? The only thing he asked was, what's the weather like in Bucharest? I mean, at this point, Joe knows more about the weather than Al Roker. So, why did Devin Archer flip? Well, because he's going to prison. And he thought, you know, being Hunter's best buddy would keep him out of prison. Devin Archer can't be too happy with Hunter Biden right now. Here's a text he sent to Hunter. Why did your dad's administration appointees arrest me and try to put me in jail? Just curious. Some of our partners asking out here. And then this one. Why would they try and ruin my family and destroy my kids and no one from your family side step in and at least try to help me? I don't get it. Devin Archer was sentenced to a year in prison for stealing $60,000 from an Indian tribe. I think it was more than that. Hunter Biden was a part of that deal and was the only one not to get indicted. Once again, everybody in Biden's orbit arrested, in prison, or they're missing. And before Devin Archer's testimony, Biden's Department of Justice sent a threatening letter to Devin Archer's judge telling him it's time for Devin to report to prison soon. This comes on the heels of us learning about another House Republican that says Biden's got foreign bank accounts. They're under investigation. Listen.
When we pulled up the first tranche of suspicious activity reports, of which there were more than 170, we then realized that there are more suspicious activity reports on more Biden family members and more information that we've got to dig into and investigate. What we have to do, and we're in the process of now, is accumulating bank records, not just here domestically, but there are bank records in foreign countries with foreign banks that we also have to get. That takes money and time, which we are doing and trying to collect that information.
Sources tell Primetime that lawyers on House Oversight, they're not going on vacation like the rest of Congress for the next 6 weeks. They're still subpoenaing Biden family bank records. And now they're moving into the deposition phase of the investigation. Devin Archer won't be the first Biden business associate that's going to be interviewed. Tony Bobulinski and Whitey Bulger's relative, James Bulger, will sit down for interviews. Several federal employees knowledgeable of the Biden situation will sit down with investigators. And we expect, when Congress returns to work in mid-September, that the House will have enough evidence to begin the impeachment inquiry. Now, opening an impeachment inquiry turbocharges congressional oversight powers, allowing them to, you know, fast track and have far-reaching subpoena power and quick court rulings. Now, this will force the media to cover the evidence that we've presented here for years. And it'll force Joe Biden, who's supposed to be out campaigning, to answer questions about why he's been lying for all these years. This could potentially end Joe Biden's reelection campaign. So Democrats have a decision to make. Are they going to get behind Gavin Newsom? Are they going to continue to say Joe Biden's a weatherman?
All right, very good. You know, Joe, they were talking about this Hunter Biden, when he had given that, gotten the $3.5 million from Yelena Batorina. Here, what they didn't tell you was that David Archer testified that he met with Batorina, and later, after this, she invested another $40 million into Hunter Biden's real estate company. The problem of it is he didn't have a real estate company.
Real estate company, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that whole thing missed something you and I reported last week. Got the article was when Hunter would call Joe, he would introduce the people at the table. And Joe would respond, and somehow he knew the name of the person's wife and children, if they had wife or if they had children. And, oh, wait a minute, a whole bunch of strangers, apparently just a spur-of-the-moment call, but how would Biden know the name of a spouse and their children if there hadn't been some pre-arrangement going on? And to me, this is the big key, and the press is kind of trying to hide that, not talking about it. And to me, that's the key that really says this was collusion going on.
Well, absolutely. And you, again, like you said, here's why it is so important that Donald Trump's got to be reelected. We can't see, because if we let them do this to him, they're doing it to us.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they can get away with it, look, just think about this. If they can get away with this with Trump, every other, whoever comes up, the next one, let's say it's the governor out there in Florida, they're going to do the same thing to him. They'll do the same thing to him. They'll, you know, it's got to be stopped with this. And what they've done to Trump, now, I can tell you this, too. All of these Republican candidates, Joe, all of these, I see the one that's Sarami, what is his name, Ramaswamy?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, Ramaswamy. He is, at least he's getting behind Trump. And as far as I'm concerned, every one of those Republican candidates, any of them that don't get behind Trump, any of them that refuse to, I'll work against them. Chris Christie, he's a rhino from the word go. He's a Democrat.
Oh, he's in this whole thing just to cause Trump trouble. I mean, he's not just anti-Trump. He is aggressively trying to destroy Trump or cause him harm or bring him down. So
he's worse than just a rhino. He's a regular Democrat. That guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's
worse than a rhino.
And so this is why, you know, we can't let them get away with it. It's got to be stopped here. This is the Antichrist Communist Party we're up against. And again, like I said, people that will, any of these Republican candidates, the ones that refuse to support Trump or stand behind him, then we will work against them. We'll do whatever we can to work against them. And the American people need to do that, okay? They really need to get behind it here on this. Now, again, you know, every time, see, the message that the Democrats are sending out there is that they really think we're stupid. The American people are seeing through this. And NBC, ABC, CBS, all of the fake news media, they're starting to figure out, gee, we're losing credibility at a rapid rate, right? But the American people are seeing through this. You know, here's my message to Merrick Garland is, look, we are not stupid, and you are corrupt. Again, the American people are not as stupid as you think they are, and we're going to have no part of this. And here's the other part. People keep asking me, how do we deal with this, the corruption? Look, you do not recognize any legitimacy. Look, I'm as much as a attorney general as Merrick Garland is, because he has no legitimacy. He has no legitimacy. What he has done, he has totally violated. He has totally disrespected that office, okay? And the same thing with Chris Wray at the FBI. They have turned, they have weaponized, they have violated the oath. As far as I'm concerned, they've committed high treason. How do you feel, Joe?
Treason sounds like it's just about the appropriate response, and, civil disobedience comes to mind. And, we've got it's a war, and we have got to get involved politically, spiritually. We need to be in prayer, because the one power that can defeat these people is waiting for us to what? Repent, turn from our wicked ways, and go to him.
So,
and he expects us to be out there fighting the good fight.
God's word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the one thing God demands more than anything else is obedience.
Obedience.
And from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible clearly teaches resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
It is to God, yep. Amen.
And so we have an obligation. It works out this way. God has expectations of us. We have an obligation to him. And, we need to step up and be counted here in this thing, because these people are the enemy of God. They have adopted the Church of Satan as their religion. And so we're on an all-out war. They're clearly the opposition, the enemy there. And here's an example. Deception by redaction. More FBI FISA abuses. This time using fake news in the Washington Post. Okay, here's a story by Paul Sperry. The FBI's efforts to mislead a federal court in order to wiretap the advisor to the Trump campaign, who were extensive than previously reported, recorded to classified documents described in the Real Clear Investigations. The embattled Bureau tried to hide its misconduct by redacting information about its actions under the guise that it involves sensitive intelligence information. RCI has learned that at least some of the redacted material included a classified appendix to Special Counsel John Durham's final report, has nothing to do with protecting sources and methods and other sensitive investigation techniques. In other words, they were spying on the President of the United States, President Trump.
Right.
There you go.
Again, we do, proof just comes out every day. We have more proof of their corruption, what's going on. And right now, a lot of this stuff is hiding big things going on. One of the things, did you hear there was an illegal Chinese biolab discovered in California in Reedley, a small city in the San Joaquin Valley, and it was supposed to be vacant, but some code enforcers saw certain things and had it investigated, and all of a sudden they ended up calling in the CDC, the FBI, the Department of Toxic Substances, Department of Health, all kinds of names, and went in there and found all kinds of biological materials, chemicals, over 800 different things found at the lab. And this was highly dangerous. They found biohazards, human blood, other unknown things. And labels had been removed from a lot of bottles, so they didn't know what they were dealing with. They still don't know. It's going to take probably a lot of time to figure out what was going on in there, but they do know there were a lot of different toxins, and they also found mice were genetically engineered mice in there, and I think it was to carry the COVID virus.
It's time to call on Hunter. Hunter, the Chinese need your help. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the end of time.
Till the end of time.
Knock. Door will open. Seek and you will find. Ask and you'll be given. Eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
You are why he died.
Why he died.
He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
It was for you and I that he was crucified.
All right, welcome to God's World. And that was Esty Christmas, no, Chrisman, and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie here. And I like that
song. Like I've always said, if you want to sound good, you sing with an angel.
Yeah.
You're smart enough to know that.
Well, do you know what, Joe? I remember something that happened back in September of 20, and I saw an article that reminded me of that when you had a debate between Trump and Biden, and Trump had mentioned right there, he said that the Biden crime family had gotten $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife, and
right.
Biden said, "That's a lie, you clown. That's a lie.
Yeah, you're the clown. Oh,
you're the one.
I wonder who the clown is now.
Right, you're the one that got that money." And And, of course, you won't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will you?
One of those networks, I can't remember which one, didn't carry any part of the Devin Archer interview. I mean, they're ignoring it, and the ones that do cover it give it about a minute and 20 seconds, and then it's all, oh, they're just talking about the weather and saying hello, and he's just being nice. And, yeah, right, everybody calls the Vice President of the United States from all over the world. It was amazing. The president always had his cell phone and was always able to take the call. I just don't believe in coincidences, do you?
No.
Not 20 of them like that.
Well, what's going to happen again, like I said, I think Trump is going to beat all of these, and I think Trump knows that. All of what, there's nothing that he has done and none of this that is illegal, like you said, and his lawyers know that. Now, the problem of it is we're up against a stacked deck. The that we do not have a Justice Department. It is completely corrupted. I mean, everybody up there in the higher echelon are gone, or they're corrupt. Now, I don't know how you get around that. You'd have to go, I guess, through the Supreme Court or some way. But that rat's nest, that's got to be cleaned out. But here, let's jump from there to Michigan, because here in Michigan, remember, you had that very, very corrupt attorney general there in Michigan, that Dana Nessel, and she wanted to charge. Well, let me just read the article. Michigan's House election vice chair, Representative Rachel Smith, has released a statement arguing that what the electors did was completely legal, completely valid, and anticipating that there would be an honest investigation into the Michigan voter fraud. I remember seeing
honest
trucks
investigation. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing trucks unloading boxes and boxes, and on the box it had Biden ballots written on the boxes, okay? And remember what they did there in Detroit, where they were counting the votes. They covered up the windows and would not allow any Republicans in.
Right. I mean, Brooke wouldn't even let them see what was going on. And then we saw the film where they sent everybody home for a break, and the two people stayed, and they reached on the table, pulled out about three suitcases, and opened them up and started counting the ballots that were in these suitcases. And you know, the suitcases weren't marked like...
That was in Georgia. That was Georgia.
I mean, you could see that. They had it on tape, for crying out loud. I mean, but there's no voter fraud here, folks. Nothing to see.
And then in Pennsylvania, they had a semi-truckload, and that guy, that driver, truck driver, was validated. Semi-truckload, they say over 250,000 ballots brought in from New York, okay, into Pennsylvania.
They took the truck, took it behind a building, sent him home, and he said he took it back there somewhere and went, well, that was all he knew, was a full of ballot boxes.
and we don't even know where to begin with Maricopa County, Arizona. The corruption there was just, it was beyond scope. But now, look, they are so corrupt in Michigan now. That very, very, very same corrupt Attorney General Dana Nessel, today she charged her former Republican. They're doing just like what the Biden regime is doing, trying to, like they do in third world communist countries, try to imprison their opponents. And that's what she's doing.
Anybody that was trying to check into voter fraud, they want to now, you know, convict them of a crime and put them in jail.
Yeah, and anyhow, so... Today, she charged her former Republican opponent, Attorney Matthew DiPerno, for daring to look at Dominion voting machines following the 2020 presidential campaign. Of course, all these states, now many of them have dropped Dominion. This is now against the law in Detroit to Michigan. In other words, to look into the corruption. These people are so completely corrupt. Unbelievable. Nessel previously appointed a special counsel to investigate her Republican opponents just weeks before the general election. Nessel has made threats against Matthew DiPerno since last year before the midterm elections. This is, in other words, the Democratic Party is completely and totally, there's no part of it, there is no part of it at all that is not corrupt. Here I'm looking at a picture of her, this AG, Dana Nessel, and she's at a ball game, and she's passed out drunk. She is passed out drunk at the Michigan State game. And here they had to take her out of there in a wheelchair. They had to load her up and take her out in a wheelchair. There you go.
Just because she's too drunk to walk, right? Yeah.
Yep. Well, she was passed out.
We've been warning people for, you know, in my case, about 30 years, about our corrupt government. And why was the government corrupt? Because we, the people of America, this country, allowed smooth-talking politicians to lie to us. I guess we'd rather be lied to than face the truth. And it was the corruption in the nation that led to corrupt government at all levels. because the people tolerated it. That's why we have it. The Founding Fathers said you would only have freedom if you didn't tolerate corruption. You would have to stand and, you know, make yourself heard and stand and fight. And this nation just sat back and let it happen.
Yeah. Here we have the American Center for Law and Justice has confirmed that its lawyers, both in the United States and Pakistan, are working on an appeal of a lower court released four Muslims who led police to the body of a murdered Christian boy. You know what? I would not be surprised at all if that was to happen.
He was raped and murdered, by the way.
Raped and murdered, right.
By a whole group of men before, they killed
him. He was a 12-year-old boy, and his name was Ifkar Massis. And here again, unbelievable. But, you know, again, I had a call from a lady today from Illinois, and we were saying, she was telling me about how corrupt things there in the governor. I said, look, if I was deciding to have a life of crime and I wanted to look for a good place, I'd go to Illinois. The governor basically out there in Illinois is telling you that, you know, come on out here. You know, we're going to stop prosecuting crime. That's virtually what they're doing out there. They're not prosecuting crime anymore, especially in Chicago. I mean, you could pretty much, if you wanted to go on a safari and shoot little children, you could go to Chicago. That's what they do on a regular basis there. This is, if you notice one thing, all of these corrupt cities where you have all of this high crime, it's all run by Democrats. Have you noticed that, Joe?
Oh, yes. We've not only noticed, we've talked about it, warned people. I go back even, you know, I spent a lot of time talking about Founding Fathers, but let's go back to President James Garfield. Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. I mean, people have been warning and warning and warning. I mean, I could sit here probably for 4 hours and give some of the warnings out of history, and people of the country chose to ignore the warnings and let it happen. So it's the people's fault, and the only ones that can correct the injustice and the fault is the people themselves.
You know, the good news is there's got to be some good news. There is some good news. We're seeing an awakening. I'm actually seeing here in Ohio, Joe, a number of the pastors have found courage. A number of the pastors are now telling their people to go out and make sure you vote yes on issue one a week from today. They're actually having found the courage to stand in the pulpit and tell them, you know, this is not a political issue. This is a sin issue. This is a sin issue. And so, some of the people are demanding that their pastors find some courage, you know, find some intestinal fortitude. And so, that is some good news.
We see these school boards, the parents fighting back against school boards. We see Moms for Liberty springing up all across the country. I see a lot of hopeful signs of people starting to fight back, starting to get involved, and that's what it's going to take, but it's going to have to be a bigger effort than it is. More and more people are going to have to realize they have to join in. We need all those out there that are God-fearing, Bible-believing people to run through the battle like we've been calling, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take numbers. It's going to take courage and faith in the God that told us to go out there and what? Be doers of the word, right?
Not just Arizona deceiving yourselves, huh?
Exactly. And he told us to be out there fighting the good fight of faith. He told us to reprove. And if that didn't work, we're to rebuke, an even stronger word. Everything he's asked us or told us to do is an action verb. And as soon as people get the idea that that implies they have to take action, we will get somewhere. More people are catching on daily.
Here, it's the other good news is, too, they're saying that a lot of these high school senior boys now that are graduating are polling more conservative.
That is a blessing, yep.
Yeah, that is good. It's a good trend. I think a lot of it's got to do with the homeschooling, but, here, especially because they've been villainized, especially white boys, white young men have been villainized, it's all been about the girls, and these guys have decided, hey, you know what, we're not going to put up with this, and they're starting to see this, and so it's a good trend, but it's always been that way. The girls and the women have always fallen first. You start back with the Girl Scouts. They went down before the Boy Scouts went down. The YWCA went down before the YMCA.
Before the YMCA, yes.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
It's always
because
been those.
Discernment is their weakness. They can't deserve to discern that what they're being told by others is a sin. It's not in. It's not new. It's not the right thing to do. It's actually the wrong thing. And the world convinces them that you have to be, just understanding and accepting and tolerating. Well, Jesus never tolerated sin.
No.
He didn't give us one example of toleration of sin, did he?
Nope. When it came to the tolerance of sin, he was the most intolerant man that ever walked the face of the earth. One more thing, very quickly.
He said, go and do likewise.
Yeah, remember Eric Adams, the New York mayor, who was saying how New York is a sanctuary city. We invite all of the illegal aliens. Well, now he's changed his mind, and he said, we got to get rid of these illegal aliens. They're nothing but trouble. And here,
I saw a picture of one of the streets in New York, and it was just crammed with all the illegals sleeping shoulder to shoulder to shoulder down the sidewalk for block. It was disgusting, but it was what he deserved. He kept saying, we're a sanctuary city, and you get all these benefits and protections.
Well, now, Joe, he wants to spend $432 million to this company that was supposed to be in healthcare, but all of a sudden now with $432 million, they want to bus these migrants to upstate New York. Now, Joe, why would it take $432 million? What are they charging about? The bus ticket would probably cost about $40-$50, but it would be costing, they would be getting probably $400-$500 per. Now, you don't suppose some of that money is being peeled off and put back just the way it works, do you?
You mean maybe some corruption there in the great city of New York? Corruption among Democrats?
With only $432 million? Yeah. Unbelievable.
Every major city run by Democrats is corrupt. They have corrupt in the labor unions and the unions that handle the garbage, the teachers union, you name it. Every major Democrat city that's corrupt has all the trouble with violence and crime and drugs. It's also politically corrupt all through the city.
They've gone to the Antichrist
for 40, 50 years.
Well, they've again, virtually the Church of Satan has become their church, the official, unofficial church. They're all trending towards Satanism. But anyhow, speaking of that, folks out there, the days we're living in is right now, real time. You are living in what the Lord Jesus Christ told, with described perfectly in God's Word, the Bible, 2 Timothy 3, Matthew 24, Romans 1, described perfectly the days that we're living in right now. Anyone who's got biblically literate could say, hey, wow, it's real time, it's here, just exactly the way the Bible said it was. So the bottom line is this. All of you out there listening to me, if you're listening to me, that means you are still breathing. You're still alive. But I can tell you this, and this is a fact. The day will come where you're going to quit breathing. That'll happen to you. Everybody that's listening to me right now will die. Now, you've got God's word on this, that it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. Now, when you die, you will end up in heaven or hell. There's no in-between. There's no, in-between waiting place, folks. You're going to go to heaven or hell. Now, you're going to go to heaven if you're saved. And if you're not saved, well, then things aren't going to be so good. So what do? The Lord Jesus made it very, very easy for you. He took your place upon the cross. He did for you what you could never, not ever do for yourself. And he provided the perfect sacrifice which was required by the Father, a totally complete sinless sacrifice. Now, how does that affect you this way? You're going to end up in heaven or hell. The choice can be yours. It can be yours. Now, the Bible tells you this. Jesus said, pray to the Father, and ask for forgiveness of your sins, called repentance. You pray to the Father, and you ask for forgiveness of your sins. You acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. But the good news is only sinners can get saved. And so you ask for forgiveness of your sins. And once you've done that, then the next step is you call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says you must call upon the name of the Lord. So you must call upon Jesus' name, because he's the one that took your place upon that cross. He died that substitutionary death. And what you do is you ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. And Joe, I'm going to say a very quick prayer. You go ahead and, for cadence, repeat after me.
All right.
Heavenly Father, Lord God.
Heavenly Father, Lord God.
I come before you.
I come before you.
A sinner.
A sinner.
According to thy perfect truth.
According to thy perfect truth.
I deserved hellfire.
I deserved hellfire.
But Father God. You placed your son upon that cross.
You placed your son upon that cross.
He took my place. He died in my place.
He died in my place.
Lord Jesus. You didn't have to take that place. But you did that for me. Right now. Lord Jesus. Be the Lord of my life, all of my life. Right now. I'm a new believer. A new creature. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're out of time for tonight. So, folks, until tomorrow, we want to say, as we do this time every night, I hope you prayed that prayer, and if you have, let us know. We want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless. Always
keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work.
Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.